South Australian Ken Duthy is a Vietnam veteran from a long line of military men who speaks to children about the significance and sacrifices of war. He's being honoured this Remembrance Day with a memorial and garden and plaque at Marrickville Primary, and he joins me now to have a chat about Remembrance Day. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, Jenny. How are you this morning?
Really well, thank you. And it's a very important day, isn't it? What is the significance of Remembrance Day to you?
Well, the significance is not just the fact of the people that we lost in Vietnam from my company and platoon, but also those that we've lost since Federation, some 100,000-odd people, that men and women that have been killed in the line of service for this country, and plus the thousands that have been wounded in the past since. So that's the ultimate recognition, is that we stop for those couple of minutes just to remember what this country has been given by these gallant people.
Absolutely. A big sacrifice and one that you and your mates made too.
It's one of those things where, as professional soldiers like I was and my brothers, we know what could happen to us. We are prepared to put ourselves out there and put our lives on the line for the sake of our country. The National Servicemen, oddly enough, once they got into the service and they became part of the military, they seemed to adopt the same attitude, because they were no longer National Servicemen, they were servicemen and women.
And also sacrifice, not for the sake of it, and certainly not something to be glorified, and something that's certainly not taken lightly among you and your mates, I'm sure.
Very true. And what we try to promote, in fact, to children, is that negotiation is far better than confrontation. And there has never, ever been a good war, never, ever will be a good war, but we must have service personnel, Army, Navy, Air Force, men and women, to defend our country in the event that something does happen, as happened in World War II with Darwin.
And there's quite a lot of symbolism surrounding war and remembrance, including the poppy. What does that mean?
The poppy. Everyone has a misconception about the poppy. They believe that when our soldiers were in France in 1917, that the blood of the soldiers of both sides turned the poppies red. Well, that's not true. The poppy has always been a red poppy, and it's just that it grew so widely in the battlefields of France that it was adopted as a flower of symbol of remembrance.
And remembrance is also taking it back to the First World War, isn't it?
Most definitely, and that was supposed to be the war to end all wars. And as we know, that is not the case. We've had about 12 or 13 since then. It's inevitable that when you have people in power, they sign a document or a declaration of war, but they're not the ones that go away and fight that war. It's the men and women in uniform who do that, and they do it unreservedly.
And then coming back from somewhere like Vietnam, it was a much different reception to a lot of the other military people in history.
Yes, I even found that in Murray Bridge when I came back. I was singled out and didn't like it very much. And these were supposed to be people that I knew, the people that knew my family. And we just dealt with it as it was. And I just said, no, I can't take this. I'm going back to where I feel comfortable. I went back to my barracks at Woodside because of the unwelcome feeling that I had when I came home. And it wasn't just for them. The RSL did exactly the same thing to us.
Oh, right. Do you think maybe
a lot of people aren't aware of that.
Yeah, tell us more about that. What was the sense?
They believed that we weren't in a war. They believed, the old veterans believed, that they were in a real war. We were in like a police action. Well, the minute you have a death of one soldier, sailor, airman or woman, in a battle, you're not fighting a police action, you're fighting a war. And that's what made us feel even less to say, my brother Ray, who was back in Murray Bridge at that time, he was going to get me to get involved with the RSL, and I said, not if this is how they treat the veterans. I'm out of here. I'll have nothing. And I never joined the RSL until about 15 years ago.
And there was obviously a big shift in the culture.
Very much so. The younger veterans had actually come in and taken over. And I felt comfortable then because they were the people from the same year. We don't do that to the guys from Afghanistan or Iraq or Somalia or Timor. We've welcomed them in, and even the soldiers out at Edinburgh, we welcome them into our RSL and make a point of writing stories about what they're currently doing to make them feel safe and wanted.
Yeah, that would be so tragic after, you know, thinking you're fighting for the country and doing your best. It was the first time those horrific images were really televised of war. So perhaps, do you think maybe it was a misdirection of fear and concern from the community?
Oh, very much so. Today, it's even harder for our soldiers and sailors, airmen and women of today, in that when they get deployed, they're on what we call short-term deployments. Then they come back, they try to get resettled with their families and reconnect, and the minute they almost start to reconnect, they're sent away again. We're in Vietnam, we were sent away for 12 months. We knew that we're away. We didn't have Skype or any of that sort of thing. It was all handwritten letters. So we didn't have the interference of people trying to contact us from Australia when we're in the middle of a battle. So.
Oh, wow. Of course, there are, of course, things like that, yeah. As well as, of course, fighting, being in situations that are absolutely terrifying. Also, you know, just the mundanity of war and not having all your creature comforts and being in very uncomfortable places as well. That's a sacrifice too.
Very much so. And people forget we have two families. We have the family that we grew up with or married into. And we've got the military family. The minute you're deployed, the military family is the priority because they're the people that are going to keep you alive on the ground. They're the ones who are going to be watching your back to make sure that people aren't going to try and come in from a flank or someone at the front is lining you up. This is the difference. And you need to be alert all the time. And if you've got things like Skype or phones and that going off, it doesn't happen.
With us at the moment is Ken Duthie, Vietnam veteran from a long line of military men. Now, Ken, I've been told by your wonderful mother, Shirley, 97-year-old Shirley in Murray Bridges Lerwin Nursing Home, that she's quite proud that you have a garden and plaque named after you being unfurled for Remembrance Day at Marrickville Primary. Must be a real honour.
It is. It's very humbling to have this happen. And I've been going to Marrickville Primary School for over 10 years, nearly 15 years, I think it is. They have deemed it something that they would like to recognise me by placing an Anzac Memorial Garden plaque named after me in their school grounds. And they've actually grown some rosemary that I gave them some years back, where the students propagated it themselves. And they now have a hedge of Gallipoli rosemary. And I think I gave you some
yes.
a couple of years ago, if I remember rightly.
Yes, you did. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful and has a lot of history, doesn't it?
It does. Brought back by a wounded soldier. He propagated it in 1915 from Gallipoli, and it has just taken off since then. But, I mean, it's one of those things you don't even have to water it. You leave it in the ground and it just grows and grows.
And that's a wonderful thing about memorials is more and more these days there are beautiful gardens, and that's such a nice space to reflect on something like war.
They're a peaceful setting, and that's what you want. With our veterans of today and of yesteryear as well, where they had a thing called shell shock, which is exactly the same as post-traumatic stress. And if you've got a place where you can just sit down and reflect and relax and breathe the air around you and then not have the troubles of war that are continually in your head, they don't go away. It doesn't matter how much medical treatment you get. You can learn how to control it and handle it, but it doesn't go away. It's still in your head. And these gardens make it so much easier to just rest and relax.
Absolutely. And you go around to schools, you've got an extraordinary amount of memorabilia, uniforms, pieces of yesteryear in terms of the war. And you like to instill in children an understanding of war, right?
I like to show them the items of yesteryear from World War One right through to our current engagements when we were in Afghanistan. They get to actually wear some of these uniforms. They get to put them on and they get to handle a set of medals which has a replica set of medals with a Victoria Cross in the group, so they get to understand what they're about and they participate. They get to sit on a light horse saddle or hold a sword. It becomes inclusive. It's not just some person standing in front of them talking. They've got the item in their hand and they can relate to it. It makes it so much easier to teach.
Is there a number one lesson you like kids to take away from the day?
Most definitely. And the lesson is this. There has never, ever been a good war. There never, ever will be a good war, but we must have people who can protect and defend us. the best war is no war. The best rifle is the one we never, ever have to fire in anger. And that is the message I like to put across to children, that with negotiation is far better than confrontation. And once we get that through the heads of government, we might start seeing a change in the world conflicts.
Absolutely. Oh, well, thank you so much for taking the time out to tell us a little bit about your story and Remembrance Day, Ken Duthie.
It's my pleasure, Jenny, as always. And may you have an enjoyable Remembrance Day yourself, and to the listener, that they remember what has been given by so few for so many.